Hey folks, welcome to Shooting Up North. I'm your host, Lewis Carlin. We're here right here on the Alliance Pro Wrestling Network. Thank you so much for joining me again today. If you're watching for the first time, please consider hitting that subscribe button. If you want to follow me on social media, I'm on Twitter at Shooting Up North. I'm on Instagram at Alliance PW Network, or you could join our Facebook group, the Alliance Pro Wrestling Network. Okay, so MLW Fusion for February 24th. Just watched it. So here's my take on the show. The main event, Jacob Fatu versus Maz Kruger, first time meeting between the two. So that's the main event of the show, but there are the bunch of other stuff that took place during the show. So let's get started from the start. So here, MLW Fusion for February 24th. So the show started with a Contra video from Mads Kruger, Contra style video from Mads Kruger, cutting a promo on Jacob Fatu. Now, I've never been a fan of Mads Kruger cutting his promos like this so you can hardly understand what he's saying with the voice distortion. Maybe they should just get rid of the voice distortion. You know, it seems like he's cutting some intense promos. You know, and What did he say? You know, like, let me turn up the volume. What is he saying? Like, you can hear Jacob Fatu's name, but you don't know what he's just not a fan of the promos, not a fan of the voice distortion. Sometimes it's difficult to understand what he's saying, you know, because as I said, it sounds like this. They should get rid of the voice distortion. Let's hear what he has to say. You know, I was seeing on social media, somebody that suggested that maybe they should put captions up. They should close caption all of Mads Kruger's videos. I think that would be a good idea, because then you could just read what he's saying instead of just trying to decipher what's coming out of his distorted mouth. The show opens with him cutting a promo. Then Emilio Sparks, there's an Emilio Sparks segment. He's backstage waiting for EJ and Duka. Sparks wants to know Nduka's thoughts on the Dynasty implosion, Dynasty breaking up. Sparks made the mistake of touching Nduka. So Nduka just grabs him and lifts him up, pushed him against the wall, and says that he's good with Hammerstone. That he has no issue with Hammerstone. Then he puts Sparks down and he walks away. I kind of like this, you know, kind of like the heelish move here by Nduka. I kind of like heelish Nduka. I like to see how where this goes. Is Nduka turning into a heel, or is he eventually going to become a heel? But I kind of like the heelish moves where he's like, don't touch me. And then he grabs Sparks and slams him again, lifts him way up like he was a bag of bread, like it was nothing, and just throws him against the wall and says, you know, I'm cool with Nduka. I'm cool with Hammerstone, okay? And then he just walks away. I kind of enjoyed that segment, you know. No vocal distortions in that one. I was able to understand everything, so that was pretty cool. So we went to the first match. The first match was Aramis and El Dragon and a mystery partner versus Ares, Gina Medina, and Mini Abismo Negro. We found out who the mystery partner is. Saint Laurent came out and introduced his newest find, his latest find, the best pound for pound wrestler in the world today, and it wound up being Microman. Microman is a little tiny wrestler, is a little person. So Microman was the mystery partner. So it was Aramis, El Dragon, and Microman versus Ares, Gina Medina, and Mini Abismo Negro. I was a little skeptical at first. When Microman was introduced, I wasn't expecting Microman. I was expecting somebody else, wasn't expecting Microman. I was expecting I don't know. I'm trying to think of some names who might have. So somebody from another wrestler from Mexico, maybe like a Pagano, or he said best pound for pound. Maybe someone that like a free agent or something. I know they have the open door free agents policy. So I was expecting. I wasn't expecting Microman. I'm not familiar with Microman. Never seen Microman before. But Microman is Saint Laurent's latest find. Is the best pound for pound wrestler in the world, or fighter in the world. So I was a little skeptical. I was a little skeptical when Microman came out. I was like, oh, Microman. Okay. Let's. He's at a clear disadvantage immediately because he's not shorter than everybody. But I, as I was skeptical, Microman won me over. Microman won me over, just like he won over every single person in that crowd. There was this taped in Dallas, Texas. So maybe the fans that were familiar with Microman, personally, I wasn't familiar, but he was over with the crowd. Microman got over with the crowd. It was cool to see. The match itself. The match itself was just a high octane, high spot, terrific match. Everyone involved in this match, I thought, was just fantastic. Aramis and Ariz have great chemistry. They have a terrific, terrific rivalry going on right now at MLW. So they have great chemistry. They work with Aramis, hit some big spots. There's big spots all around. Mini Abismo Negro, another terrific, terrific wrestler, hit some good spots. It's the first time I saw him as well. But the story of the match was Microman. The story of this match was Microman. I was won over. You know, and the crowd was behind Microman 100%. They were hot for Microman. He was over with the crowd. He was so over with the crowd, Microman. And I like that we didn't get Microman overkill. We got just the right amount of Microman in the match, which made it perfect. And every spot that Microman hit, the crowd just, like I said, just loved it. They just popped. They just popped for Microman. It ended up with Microman hitting a spot on Gino Medina and then pinning Gino Medina, getting the win for his team. I'm not sure if I would have gone that route, having Microman pin Gino Medina, because Microman, he hit the finishing move with, it didn't really look like it really hurt all that much. And then, you know, he gets the pin on Gino Medina. I'm not sure if I would have given it again, he was the story of the match, Microman. He was super over with the crowd, but I don't know if I would have had Microman get the victory over Gino Medina at first, but then I realized why they put Microman over. We're going to find out shortly why he went over. So the winner of the match was Microman, Aramis, and El Dragon. El Dragon, also a very, very good wrestler. Also very, very good wrestler. So, this match was, again, a high-octane, fun match to watch. It was like 15, 16 minutes long. You might argue maybe it was a little too long, but no, I think it was a great match. It wasn't long enough, in my opinion. And it's a terrific way to start the show. Just a fantastic way to start the show. And, again, Microman. Microman won me over, and we found out that Microman will be returning to Super Fight. So Microman will be back in MLW, which is we'll see how the Charlotte crowd. I know it's in Dallas, Texas, so maybe they're more familiar with Microman in Dallas, more familiar with the Lucha Libre wrestlers in Dallas, Texas. We'll see how the Charlotte crowd reacts. I'm sure he's going to be over in Charlotte as well. But I'm proud to say I'm a Microman fan now. I am a Microman fan. Okay, so post-match, as I noted, I wasn't not sure if Microman should have gone over on Gino Medina, but we found out why it happened. So post-match, Gino Medina commentator comes out, wants to have a word with Gino Medina, but he wasn't having any of it. He shoves the commentator down. Referee tries to get involved. He shoves the referee down, and then he walks away to the back. And that's not the last we've seen of Gino Medina and in the show. We'll get to it as we'll get to it when we get to it. So after that, we saw 51-50. They were partying with strippers. They're a great tag team. Yeah, I love 51-50. You know, Rivera, Slice Boogie, just fantastic talents. And so they're partying with strippers, and then they mock the Von Erichs. You know, say the Von Erichs weren't able to make it due to COVID protocols. They weren't able to be involved in the match. It was really supposed to be 51-50 versus the Von Erichs for the MLW Tag Team Championship. But the Von Erichs, of course, as I said, weren't able to make it due to COVID. So 51-50 were mocking the Von Erichs. And we're going to see down the road, we're going to see 51-50 and the Von Erichs meet up for the Tag Team Championships, which is going to be just a fantastic, fantastic match. And then we get a video hyping Kane, Alex Kane, the MLW Openweight Champion, Alex Kane versus Calvin Tankman. each cut a promo on each other. They had match footage sprinkled in as well. It was well done. I thought it was well done, and it got me pumped for Alex Kane defending the MLW Openweight Championship against Calvin Tankman, which takes place next week. So next week, Alex Kane puts the title on the line against Calvin Tankman. Can't wait for that one. And then we also find out that Tajiri, while the show is being taped, he's still being booked as billed as the MLW middleweight champion. So next week he defends that title against Myron Reed, Matt Cross, and a mystery opponent. So someone's going to walk in through the free agent door and be that mystery opponent. So again, Tajiri defends the middleweight title next week against Myron Reed, Matt Cross, and a mystery opponent. And I know who the mystery opponent is, but just in case you don't know, you don't watch spoilers and you don't want to know anything about spoilers, I'm not going to tell you who that mystery opponent is. So then Gino Medina is back, and Gino Medina is backstage, and he attacks Aramis. Still angry that he took the painful loss to Microman. So he attacks Aramis and just beats him bloody. Blood all over the hands of Gino Medina. This definitely setting up a match between Aramis and Gino Medina. I was kind of hoping Microman would have rushed in to make the save. That would have been great, man. But no, Gino Medina takes out Aramis. And so the whole Microman pinning Gino Medina is now leading to a Gino Medina versus Aramis feud, which is going to be fantastic. Going to be fantastic. Gino Medina so angry that he lost, took the loss of Microman. He took it out on Aramis, which is definitely going to set up a match. I'm surprised. I don't think, I don't think either of them have a match at Super Fight, but I'm sure down the road, we'll get Gino Medina versus Aramis, Aramis looking for revenge. Then we have Hammerstone and Davey Richards in separate taped interviews, but they're edited together, talking about their huge Super Fight main event, which is tonight. Super Fight, MLW Super Fight is tonight in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to do a separate podcast just to run down the final card. This worked well. I think it worked well in hyping up the title match. Which is going to be a great one. Rich Hammerstone defending against Richards. They both seem poised. They both seem ready. One thing though that I was thinking about, Hammerstone was just betrayed by Richard Holiday, by his former Dynasty partner, Richard Holiday. But it doesn't seem to bother him at all. He seems to be just going in, not distracted by any of these events, by this huge event that took place. We haven't gotten one promo from Hammerstone, unless I'm sadly mistaken. We haven't gotten one promo from Hammerstone on how he feels about Richard Holiday betraying him. I think he unfollowed Richard Holiday on Twitter. I think they went back and forth a little bit on Twitter. Holiday mentioned last week during the contract signing with Richards that he'll take care of Holiday when the time is right. But Holiday betrayed Hammerstone. You know, this should be a major thing. Hammerstone, I mean, I thought we were going to see Hammerstone going into this match, you know, not completely focused on the match, not completely focused on David Richards because of the whole Richard Holiday, Alicia Toot situation. I thought that's what we're going to see, but he seems unfazed. You know, he doesn't seem to be bugged by it. He's just going in completely poised, cool, calm, and collected, going into this match against Richards. And Richards is ready as well. So I thought they were going to run with that storyline, that Hammerstone is just, you know, he's going to go into this match. His head's not into it. His head's not fully there with what happened with Richard Holiday. But that's not what we're getting. But we will find out more about Richard Holiday and this match towards the end of the show, and we'll get to that. But yeah, it's going to be a great match. Holiday and Dave Richards, going to be a fantastic, fantastic main event. I think Richards is going to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if Hammerstone retains. But I know the fans in Charlotte, North Carolina tonight are going to get an absolutely fantastic main event. Absolutely fantastic main event. Speaking of main events, it's time for MLW Fusion, February 24th. main event, which is Mads Kruger versus Jacob Fatu. First time that they're meeting. It's being the first build. That's the first time that they're going one-on-one. And I have to say, I was hyped up for this match. I was pumped up for this match. You know, when they announced it, I was like, I was pumped. I was pumped, but I was disappointed. I was disappointed. You know, while it started out as a brawl, and Mads Kruger hit that impressive, huge dive over the top rope, I don't think this match ever kicked into high gear. I don't think I was expecting a high octane, you know, exciting brawl between the two, back and forth action. Yes, they were outside of the match, they're outside the brawl that started before the match, and they're outside the ring, they're going back and forth, but it never kicked into high gear for me anyway. I was a little disappointed. I wasn't expecting Jacob Fatu to score a pinfall victory. And I know Akira Kwan interferes. He comes in. Mads Kruger is holding Fatu. Kwan goes for a kick. He misses. He hits Kruger. Fatu does a moonsault off the turnbuckle, the second or third rope. Does a moonsault onto Kruger. Gets the pin. And 1, 2, 3. But I was disappointed. It never kicked into high gear for me. And I would, like I said, I was really hyped for this one. And for me, it just didn't deliver, And then, we got, Kruger and Kwan attack Fatu after the match. And I figured, okay, they're going to attack him. They're going to beat him down. Cause there's a huge match coming up. A super fight, Kruger against, Jacob Fatu in a Stairway to Hell match, in case you're not familiar, they hang a weapon, it's like a ladder match instead of a title. They hang a weapon above the ring, and with the ladder you climb up, whoever gets the weapon is able to use it. It's an old ECW match, but I figured Kruger and Kwan were going to come in, they were going to attack him, and they were going to beat down Jacob Fatu, and then Jacob Fatu will be getting his revenge at Super Fight. But no, I mean, he comes in and Fatu comes back right away, and he gets the better of Kruger. He gets the better of Kruger. He does his twisting dive to the outside on Kruger. Kruger's back in the ring. Security comes out, try to break them up, but they get the security out of the ring. Fatu just, you know, clotheslines him or body dives him outside, over the top rope to the outside. Fatu's just getting the better of Kruger. You know, and then Kruger at the end grabs Akira Kwan and throws him into the security, off the ring ramp into the security, and then Kruger just dives onto the security as well. Clearly frustrated that Jacob Fatu got the best of him. So think about it. If Jacob Fatu wins the match by pinfall, and he gets the better of him in the post-match brawl, why would anybody be intrigued, or why would anybody want to see another Fatu versus Mads Kruger match? As far as I'm concerned, the feud's over and Fatu won. That's how I see it. So there's nothing happened in that match that made me say, oh man, I want to see these two go at it again. I can't wait. This was fantastic. Nothing in that match that took place made me say that. So they're going to have the Stairway to Hell match. You know, we'll see. I'm sure it'll be an interesting match, but again, this match didn't deliver for me. And if Fatu and Mads Kruger don't have another match, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. Like I said, there's nothing happened in this match that really made me say that I really want to see another match between these two. That's how I saw it. So. All right, so the show ends actually with a segment, Richard Holiday and Cesar Duran. So Cesar Duran's on the phone. Richard Holiday comes in with Alicia Toot. Holiday says Duran promised him a title shot for taking care of Contra at War Chamber. Duran says while he keeps his promises, Davey Richards has signed for Super Fight, so he's getting the title shot. Duran says his hands are tied. There's nothing he could do. He said, But Richard Holiday, if Richards happens to get injured before that match and can't compete, you know, you're the perfect replacement. And Richard Holiday was, that's interesting. So I like the ominous tone there. I like the ominous tone. Not a really fan of the Cesar Duran segments, but this one I kind of liked. The ominous tone. The only thing is, this was broadcast on Thursday. The match is happening tonight. So in reality, Richard Holiday has 2 days to do something. So to get Richards out of there. So the question is Richard Holiday, he's going to go after David Richards and try to take him out before the match? Are we not going to get Hammerstone versus David Richards? Are we, in fact, going to get Hammerstone versus Richard Holiday at Super Fight instead? That would be a major disappointment. That would be a major disappointment. Nothing against Holiday, but why couldn't Cesar Duran just say, you know what? I did say that. So how about you get the winner of Holiday versus Richards? And I'm sure if Cesar Duran said to Richard Holiday, you get the winner of Alexander Hammerstone and Davey Richards, then Holiday would be like, okay, that kind of makes sense. I could wait for that. But now we get that little ominous tone. Is Holiday going to take out Davey Richards before the match? Are we not getting Hammerstone versus Davey Richards? Are we getting Hammerstone versus Holiday? Again, it will be a major disappointment. Again, nothing taken away from Richard Holiday, man. And why wait 48 hours before the title match to tell Holiday? Because yes, it's taped, but In MLW reality, it's 48 hours before, because it hit YouTube Thursday, so he has like 48 hours to get Richard Zeller. Why not give him like 2 weeks? Why not, 2 weeks ago, Holiday wants the title match, and against Hammerstone. And Cesar Duran says, well, if something happens to Richards over the next 2 weeks, he can't compete. Then we could film segments of Holiday trying to take out Richards, which would have been interesting. Would have been interesting to see. But now Holiday is he's on the clock. he's got less than 48 hours right now, because right now this is Saturday morning, early Saturday morning. So he's got like. Last I saw, Richards is still going to be the opponent for Alexander Hammerstone. So he's got about 12 hours. He's got about 12 hours to take out Davey Richards. That would be a disappointment. It would be a disappointment. And I could see something happening where he tries to take out Davey Richards. It appears Davey Richards is hurt. Holiday is named the replacement, but then Richards comes in and we get a triple threat match. You can see something like that. Again, it would still be a disappointment. I want to see Hammerstone versus Holiday one-on-one. I want any shenanigans happening there. There's no way Cesar Duran could have said, you got the winner of Hammerstone versus Davey Richards. I would have been fine with that. MLW fans would have been fine with that. Alicia Atute would have been fine with that. And I'm sure Richard Holiday would have been fine with that as well. But we'll see what happens at Super Fight. Again, it's not going to be on pay-per-view. It's not going to be on Fight TV. It's not going to be on YouTube. It's going to be taped for a future show. So we're not going to see that. Unless you read spoilers, you're not going to know what happened there. Until it hits YouTube, of course, so we won't know. But I look at the spoilers, so I'll know. But anyway, so we'll see what happens. Super Fight is going to be a terrific show. I'm going to do a separate podcast a little later. I'll run down the final card, and that was it. And that's how MLW Fusion ended. So it was good. The opening match was fantastic. Loved the opening match. Totally won over by Microman. Disappointed with Fatu and Mats Kruger. Surprised that there were only two matches. Usually we get three matches. There's a lot of filler. I know they were hyping matches. Next week we get. They were hyping the matches for next week. Of course, Alex Kane defends the MLW Openweight Championship against Calvin Tankman, and then Tajiri defends the MLW Middleweight Championship against Myron Reed, Matt Cross, and a mystery opponent, somebody walking in through the free agent door. So that's what we're getting next week, and that's it. That was the show. So That's what I have to say about MLW Fusion for February 24th, 2022. Okay, so I'll be back, like I said, later today. It's early Saturday. I'm watching the news. Anything breaks, I will definitely be back to report on it. I'm going to do one more podcast on the huge MLW Super Fight, which is happening tonight. I'm going to run down the final card. There's a rumored Killer Cross. The opponent for Killer Cross has been rumored, so I'm going to go over that as well. But until then, thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye, and stay safe, everyone. So long. Bye-bye.